Sky 1, right. Beginning of the visit with Cookie, with Debbie and Rick, this Thursday morning, the 15th of February, 73. Channel 1, right. Beginning the visit with Cookie, this Thursday morning, the 15th of February, 73, with Debbie and Rick. Channel 1, right. On this long reel. Beginning the visit with Cookie, with Debbie and Rick, this Thursday morning, the 15th of February, 73.
Yeah, that's hot enough. It's steaming.
It's steaming. You got those beautiful boots there.
Say.
Wish I had a pair.
She can't stand up on her feet. She tell you that?
Yeah, she told me that.
Well, what you doing?
Yeah. I'm going to get her a pair of boots. You watch me. I'll get her a pair of boots.
It don't matter what size, just the way it is. And she wears 10, anywhere from 10, 11, 12. That's the way I do it.
I try to tell him I can't walk if my foot's sliding around in a size 12 boot.
Twos and a half, two cowhides and a half keg of needles.
What's that, Cookie?
Twos and a half. Two cowhides and a half a keg of needles.
What is that?
Get her a pair of twos and a half.
Yeah. Two cowhides and a keg of needles.
Half a keg of needles, that's right.
Where did you hear that first?
Oh, I've heard that expression for a long time.
Oh, Lord. That comes from up in the
boondocks.
Yeah. Up in the... up there where we all ought to be.
No, not now. Not now. Goodness gracious. They got some weather up there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hell and Lord just been up there. They was up there for a week. That's the reason you ain't saw me. I've had to babysit in horse trade. And I tell you, you got a job and you're babysitting and horse trading too.
You carry your babies along with you?
Yeah, well, I ain't got much other choice. But now they got back Tuesday morning, 2 o'clock. They were gone for a week. They left Monday morning, was a week ago, at 6 o'clock. And they had good weather. They drove straight on through. And at 10:30 that night, Helen called me from Dad's.
Oh, really? Mm. Who?
Laura and Helen.
Oh, they are on the road now.
And then they came back. They left up there at 7:15 this past Monday morning.
Put it on the table, they don't hurt it.
And got in at 2:15. 2:20.
And Helen don't drive?
No.
She read their signs for her?
I don't know. I can't drive it like that with her. No, I get frustrated and mad and I just pull off and stop.
Well, you don't need the signs. You know what the signs are.
I know which way I'm going, and they try to tell me different, see? And that makes me mad.
Yeah. Yeah. So the best thing when you're getting flustered is rattled. Rattled is more like it, isn't it?
Yeah. I just pull off and stop.
Yes. And air things out a little? Don't do any good just sit there in silence. These shoes, you just don't know what you're getting, Cookie, in them shoes.
And everywhere they go, they'll charge you two prices, you know.
Well, they sold boots up for equipment, too, see, for... They range from about $17. Good boots. But I don't need no more boots for a while.
In the wagon? In the tack wagon?
No, in the tack sale.
Well, what do they do? Tell you the size?
Yeah.
Do they auction it, or you just go...
Auction.
I don't see how you'd buy boots.
Well, by golly, you do. That's the way I bought them at an auction.
Huh. Hadn't even slipped them on?
No.
Even got a good look?
Yeah, you look at it, sure. You got to make your mind up. I mean, you can't stand there and dilly-dally for 2 hours. You got to make your mind up before that auctioneer's rattling. And he going to sell them boots.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you go by?
Name brand. I looked at them.
Ahead of time?
No.
You went up, while you were selling them, you went up and looked at them?
Yeah. The whole time I was looking, I was bidding.
You didn't slip your foot in, though?
No. Didn't have time to get my other boot off. That's how quick you buy them. That's how quick you buy them. I bought that pair of horses so quick the other day. Why, they didn't even have time hardly to get wound up. I done bought them jokers.
For the rest of them, it was...
They're sitting there sleeping. I done bought their horses. Give $245 for that pair of mares.
Both of them.
I went and sold them last night. I got $250 and a $50 saddle.
Yeah. Well, you can't eat that saddle.
I can sell the fool out of it, though.
Yeah, $400.
No, I won't get that much, but I'll get $60-$65 out of it. See, how many have I got there to sell? I still got 3 to sell. 3 saddles. Fixed up in good shape. Need a new home.
Mm-hmm.
Need a new home.
This fella, where you all went, said they just starting down there.
Yeah. It was too cold this past Saturday. I mean, I called them, and they had 2 trailer loads of horses stranded in Georgia. Couldn't get there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
2 trailer loads stranded, couldn't get there.
What kind of outfit is this down there?
It's an automobile auction, but they auction anything. They're going to start selling tack and farm machinery and horses and everything.
Where'd you run into them?
I was down there at a car auction. I took some cars down for a man one night, on one Wednesday night, and they announced it. That's where I heard it.
Oh, I see.
Then I've been hearing it on radio. It's been on radio.
Now, that Rick told us a little about it. That fella that had that horse with the spit-out feet.
That big old white horse.
Yeah.
Now,
he's from Orlando.
Yeah, he was a tall,
Johnny
thin
Palmer.
Fella.
Johnny Palmer.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
Johnny Palmer from Orlando.
And he makes the auctions?
No, he's just one of them. Yeah, he makes every auction. I mean, he's there. He was up equipment Tuesday. A load of horses. Out of Texas. That's
good.
The way he makes his living is horse trading.
Oh, he can make a living at it.
He's making a living at it.
And there you was going to take a horse off him.
If it had been right, I'd have traded for it.
Yeah. You think you can win on a fellow like that?
If I trade with him, I'll win.
Unless you get one that can see at night and not in the daytime.
That's right. I ain't gonna trade for no more then.
Somebody
I've just been lucky on them on them Moonlight horses that I've traded for. I've come out on them.
On the Moonlight horses, where you can't see them.
Well, he got rid of that white horse, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he sold him to Ernie Dowling.
Oh, is that
Scott.
That fellow with the yellow shirt?
Yeah, and then Ernie Dowling turned around and sold that big white horse to a lady up here, Stark, for $200.
He sure wanted to sell it to you.
Yeah. He wanted to sell me that little pinto, too, that wouldn't ride away from the barn.
Oh, that was the one that came in that little narrow trailer.
Yeah.
With a California plate.
That's right.
Where in the world does he get California plates?
Well, that's his son, see, and he's been playing music. He's a musician. He's been playing music out in California. And out in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh.
And all them big high spots. Heck, he gets $100 a night.
And then his dad runs around with California plates. And you think the horse is coming from California?
I didn't know. I knew where the horse come from. I know old Ernie Down. You ain't gonna, unless you know him, you ain't gonna trade dollars with him unless you get cheated.
How's your mind?
He just got a slick tongue.
He can say what you want to hear. You know the fellow that auctions down here at the livestock market. What's his name?
Petty Clark.
Yeah. Now, he never did tell anybody anything straight. He knows you, and he knows you what you want to know, and he tells you what you want to know.
That's right. He didn't.
I've had a good bit of dealings. Every time I could tell that it wasn't, I did a wasting my time to call him up and ask him. You ask him when's the best time to sell a few little old steers, and he says, well, he says, the market's good now. I don't know how long it's going to stay up. And this Wednesday market, you got a better chance in than you have the money. He always gives you that answer. If he gets a chance.
Well, I tell you, to me, the Monday market's better than the Wednesday market.
Yeah, just everybody else. Because you got more buyers there.
That's right. Everybody's there on Monday.
It costs you to take them there on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Who else was down there? I heard you talking about it.
Oh.
Who got that tack wagon down there?
Yeah, that was that big old truck that came up. He's
dealing
out of the back.
Oh, I don't know what his name is. That's the first time I ever saw him.
Well, then what's wrong with that? That looks to me like that's a pretty good thing.
It is. It's a good thing.
He can take that any way he wants to go.
Yeah. But, Johnny Jenkins, he had one up in Quitman all the time.
Same kind of thing.
Basically, yeah. And he, but now Johnny, Jenkins, he puts his in for the tax sale, you know. I mean, where they auction it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets him. He puts most all of his in there. Then he'll park his wagon outside, and if somebody comes in late that didn't get in the tax sale, well, he's got it there to sell them.
Oh, yeah.
But he gets retail price for it out there, though.
Yeah.
When he sells it off of his truck.
Retail price.
He gets retail price.
But in the auction, just what he can get.
Just what he can get. It's like that hackamore out there. It's about a $12 hackamore. I bought it for a $5 bill. It's one of the best. And those latigos, you can't buy one. You can't buy a set of latigos for less than $5. I give $1.25 a piece for them.
Yeah. Because when they put them out there, they don't want to take them back.
That's right. They don't want to pick them up and box them up and pull them back out.
Well, if you know what you're looking for and what you can use, see who is. Who else was it?
That's just that little girl riding that horse. But you met them folks. I never met them.
Rick said that little gal could get more out of a horse than he could.
She could.
Of course, I don't guess he passes for a rider.
She got down the bottom of that horse now. She got him walking like a gentleman. She absolutely had him performing like a gentleman.
Well, what made him go to the slant off?
He just full of life.
Yeah.
But now she got that out of him, didn't she, Rick?
She took him down that fence road, didn't she? Straight.
She sure did.
And he's ready to behave after that?
Yeah.
That took some of the life out of him.
Boy, I got one now. I'll tell you what, he's a firecracker. He is a firecracker. At Appaloosa. You ain't saw him.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I got a good Appaloosa. He's a barrel horse.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the best.
Yeah. Now, Frank can barrel ride.
Yes, sir. But I got to sell him.
Well, Frank can demonstrate him.
I might not, if I don't stay in the hospital, I might not demonstrate him and sell him Saturday night. If it ain't raining and ain't too cold, we're going to have a horse show and sale at Milton's Ranch in Gainesville on Kincaid Road.
Horse show and sale.
And sale. That's right.
I'm done. Going on at the same time?
No, we'll have this show and then probably sell the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is jumping around. I've heard people talk a lot. You remember when you first started coming over here, old Alvin was having trouble with cows?
Yeah.
Well, that's just commonplace. I don't know whether they've stopped it or not.
No, they still do. They just more or less go in circles. It's still happening all over the country.
Yeah. Somebody coming along, they got a hunting license out there and a gun and can't see into the chute, so they just shoot an old woods cow. And then if they're feeling right happy, they'll pick one of them coffee weeds and stick it down in where they shot it.
Speaking of old Alvin, I got next to him. I'm telling you, I just burned him up. Yeah, little Sam horse. That's who I traded old Sam to. I traded him to Alvin for a big spotted mare he had there that I had traded him 2 years ago. Good mare. Good with kids.
Kids?
Yeah. Old Annabelle. She was fat and pretty. And you could do anything with her. Walk up to any place and catch her. Crawl under. You could just as many kids as you could find a seat would ride.
Yeah.
Well, I took her and I traded her for 4 saddles. Well, I traded Alvin, old Sam, for her and $50. Cash money. Okay, then I took her the next night. I traded her for 4 saddles and $50. I sold one saddle for $33. One saddle for $45. I think one for $47 and one for $65.
So that made old Sam
pay off.
Pay off.
Had $150 in him.
Yeah. Well, now he was looked like it'd be the easiest thing in the world to sell that horse.
Yeah. He's a good horse.
Cause he behaves.
Yeah.
You could handle him.
And he made everything of that market, that auction, look kind of sorry.
But there's just so much you can get.
Yeah, you can just get so much, and that's all. But that little pair of mares I bought yesterday, I bought Tuesday now, they were just out of this world, mister.
Yeah. I go over there. We went over there and picked up that old horse yesterday. Franklin come out there, he's there by himself. And Rick went in, I said, hell, you can't get a man when he's working. Interrupt the fella. We went on back there and Franklin stopped there at the lift. I thought he was working on that car. No, he was working on my little old tractor way over there. Well, I said, we're going over there and you just keep on, you know, joshing. And you know, he's putting on
that old gasket.
Gasket, there. Putting on a gasket and smearing a gook on it, no. He said, Daddy, and Daddy went to Quitman yesterday.
I took him with me, yeah.
And a little later he says if I could trade like my daddy could, I wouldn't do so much of this stuff here. So hey, he'll learn, won't he?
If he'll follow me. He learned mechanicking by following me.
Yeah. And he'd done more work than any just boy growing up than I run into.
Ed Stone would be lost without that boy over there. There ain't no question about it.
But I think what all of you do, you see, he's still a boy. And in judgment is, you know, he's still a boy. You gotta check in on him. I think all of you put too much on him. Hell, I don't know what you do or what Eddie does either. I'm just sort of.
I don't put nothing on him. If he wants to help me anymore, all right. If he don't,
well I mean responsibility or judgment or fixing things. You see, just turn over to so much to him. Well, you might. That's what ruined old Miller over here. He got so he'd take on anything. And once he got apart, he couldn't get together again. And he's a grown man, Cookie. Had a family. And he's still done it. Now, a trap that a lot of these mechanics run into.
Oh, once in a while they run into a trap like that.
Where they propose to do more than they can do.
That's right.
So they wind up just...
They wind up just goofed up.
Yeah, just goofed up. Yeah, when I got that old American Motors car back from Aaron... Damn, no gauges wouldn't any of them run. What are they going to do to you over there? And where are you going?
Going to VA. They're going to do something, because I ain't going to put up with this now. Somebody's going to do something. They're going to get them knots out of my ribs. Now, I just can't take that codeine. I just ain't going to take no more of it. They've had me so crazy with that codeine till I, it's a wonder I made as much money as I did taking that stuff. It's a wonder I hadn't lost money.
If you had been at your right mind, no telling what you've done, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, you know, since you've been coming out here, it is about half the time you've been at your right mind.
I've been on that codeine, and I just can't hack it no more.
I mean, when you first started coming out here, you was taking them great big old pain pills.
That's right. I've been doing it ever since I've been coming out here.
You get over one and get into something else.
That's right. Well, I'm just getting tired of it.
Oh, I'm telling you, they gave you a runaround there, and all you had was an abscess tooth.
That's right, just an abscess tooth.
Oh, I remember.
I rode that tractor out there, and I didn't have no business, by golly, even sitting in a rocking chair. Mm-hmm. I was out there on them tractors, and I should have been laying in the bed.
Yeah.
Shorty.
We put that rye patch. That's the best rye we ever had.
That's right.
Over there.
Best we ever had, and I put it in just as drunk as I could be on codeine.
Yeah.
Keep the pain down, that's right. Codeine, Librium, all that kind of junk.
Look at this. I think this oats is a losing proposition.
Oats?
Yeah. You see, you can't leave them out there to get a bait. Now, that oats we had, you see, it grew enough. You could leave them out there and they got full.
You mean the rye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this stuff don't have enough growth in it. At least none I've had has had. When you going?
1 o'clock today.
Oh, you're on your way.
I'm going back. I'm going home to change clothes.
But you don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going to do. But I know somebody's going to do something now. See, I've done lost my heavy equipment operator job at the university. They put me back down on as a groundman, too.
Oh, you can't do it now.
But, see, now all I do is stand around with three or four hippies.
Well, that's all you're able to do.
And it didn't cut me too much. $227 a year.
Yes, they cut you.
$227 a year. That ain't very much money.
They didn't cut you very much, did they?
Mm-mm.
Have you been working over there all this last week or two?
See, I worked week before last all week. I worked 3 days and a half last week, and I worked yesterday. I mean, I was on the job yesterday.
Yeah.
But now, I worked week before last, and 3 days and a half last week, and I'm paying for it now. I just, by golly, can't take it. I just can't ride that heavy equipment. I ain't going to.
Well, I don't... Yeah, I didn't realize what that meant, riding that heavy equipment.
Yes.
I didn't. I was just like sitting in a car.
Yeah.
You take bouncing that stuff on, and riding it up and down them grades, and you're getting in all kind of different positions, and they're bouncing you from one side of the tractor to the other, and all that kind of junk. I just can't hack that. I ain't going to.
Now this fella over here at Mickanova that handles that big equipment, old George
Wilson.
Wilson. He handles them big scoops.
Yeah,
5-ton or something.
Yeah.
Now he got to stay pretty fit, hadn't he?
That's right.
Just to set on the machine and it running.
They got men up there that's in perfect health that can't take, that wouldn't take what I took in the past 2 weeks. And me in the condition I'm in.
Yeah.
Now that's the God's truth. They got men up there that just won't, they just can't take it.
They just don't want to get into that.
And I went out there and done it. They'd been holding the job open for me to finish the job that I went off of the 7th day of last March. That job had never been completed until the last week. I finished it.
I'm telling you, that they don't volunteer, do they?
No, sir. Oh, the psychology building. That new psychology building?
Yeah. That's on a pretty steep hill.
All right, now that's where I built that around that psychology building, the lower side, last week.
Yeah.
And then all that filling in there, made it swirl around that catch basin the way they wanted it. I terraced it on top like they wanted it. Of course, they didn't have another man there that would do it. Could do it.
Waited that long.
I didn't know you'd been back over there. Old Shug waited around here for you. He didn't just wait, but he was hanging around.
Boy, I've been tied up.
In case you didn't, he'd miss you. And I kept telling him that you hadn't had anybody like him to talk to. You know, it's phenomenal, the experience that fellow's had. And he may be goofy on basketball, but he sure knows this other stuff. And I never did hear anybody run him down as far as this business side of insurance goes. He puts his mind to it, and he lives with it. Hell, he's lived with it for 10 hours a day since he got out of school up there.
Well.
I don't know. And you see, I don't know people like that down here. And if it's up there, it'd be hard for me to get to him. You see, he's down here fishing, so I can sort of get to him. I wouldn't be able to get to him up there. Oh, you can talk to him sometime when he's down here. He'll
be back this summer when I'm a little bit more settled. Right now, I mean, it's like I said, I've been on that dang codeine and Librium and all that kind of junk for so long. I ain't got half cents.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to transact business when you're... It's hard for me to do it with an aspirin, much less that other. Well, I don't believe your friend's coming out. What time is it?
10:30.
Yeah.
I got a roll.
She ought to be here. She's going, how's your equipment, your rolling equipment?
All right, yeah.
Your truck holding up?
Oh, yeah.
What happened? Somebody said your transmission went out.
It did. I tore it up.
Just pulling too much?
No, it was When Frank wrecked it, it always had been, had a kickback in, when I'd crank it, you could hear just like grinding rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Our torque converter went out on it. I had to slide it back and put a new torque converter on it.
But that no amount to much?
$128 is all.
For the parts?
Yeah.
For you?
Mm-hmm. 4 hours work.
4 hours? You do the work? That's a good piece of work.
That torque converter, God, you got to push the whole transmission back.
It's all got to go back. Yeah.
Or you just stick it on.
Yeah, I see. It was 5, 7, 4 is 11. And 3 is 14. 14 bolts to take out and slide the transmission back. Pull your torque converter, off. Put a new seal in the front. Slide your old torque converter on there and bolt it up, and you're in business.
And you're working under the truck?
Under the truck.
And the truck's sitting on the ground?
On the ground.
You can have that kind of work. That's hard.
That's all the way Buster's ever done. I'm damned if I'd do it. I'd have to do it standing up cooking. And then I'd get it all balled up.
Well, they wanted $70 labor to put that thing in there, and I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it.
Where'd you get it?
I done it myself.
Where'd you get your piece part?
Chevrolet.
Oh.
I bought a new one. I didn't buy a new.
That's your stuff. Don't pay anymore, especially on transmission.
I didn't buy no.
What happened to old Jim? What you call it? Went out of business down there, and now he's running this old furniture junk place down here.
I'm gonna load up a little junk and take down and sell him one of these days. I got some old antique stuff. I'm gonna sell him.
Just clear out your place.
Yeah, I'm gonna clear it out. I got a wagon, an old big wagon. I'm gonna take down there and see if I can sell him.
Yeah.
I gotta go get my wagon over at Richardson one day.
Oh, it's still over there.
Yeah, I gotta go get that booger.
In good shape?
I don't know. I just saw it at a distance. I didn't look that close.
Yeah.
The wheels is what I was interested in. It's got them big wide metal wheels.
Oh. And low ones?
They're not the near as high as this now here. No, they're not near that high. They're almost down about that high.
Yeah. And it's still over there.
Still over. I'm going to go get that joker.
What else he got?
He got a hay rake I'm going to buy. Horse-drawn hay rake.
Yeah.
14 foot. Man, big, big, wide jokers.
Yeah.
That's a good shape, too.
Horse-drawn?
Yeah.
Like this one?
Yeah. And this now here is 10 foot rake, and that I'm going to get a 14 foot rake.
Yeah. Well, they'll do the work.
Yes, sir.
And you looked around pretty well? Over there?
Pretty well.
With him?
No, by myself.
Nobody over there now?
I'm gonna go get that wagon, though.
What happened to your house in the woods out there?
Well, you know, I told you them niggers was fighting among themselves.
Yeah.
They're still at it. And I'm not going in there as long as they're fighting.
Yeah. No.
I think too much of my wife's husband to do that.
It's been rainy anyhow.
Yeah.
And you need a little labor. How much labor would you need to get that out?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to get in there and size it up. I mean, get right close to it and size it up. But you know, I got to go home.
Them niggas over there that's fighting, they could do that and
if they'd knock a board off every time they got in a fight, why, by gosh, they'd just about have it tore down.
Yeah. What's happened to your big shot over there, Rollison over there, that horse on?
I don't know what's happened to him. I haven't saw him. He's been off on these government bids. On this surplus government equipment.
From the war?
Yeah. Last count I had of him, he had catching a plane for Texas, Fort Worth.
Goodness. He got the money to do that?
I guess.
And somebody there to hold it down for him?
Well, you got a girl there. I don't know how she's holding it down, but it's still there.
But not much going on while he's away.
He operates too fast for me. I mean, he's in a too high class bracket for me. I can't hack it.
You think it might be a little high for him?
It's possible.
It remains to be seen. Well, you know, it would be nice to have some place you could go to get old discarded stuff. But they want so much for it now. You can't afford to buy it.
No, you can't afford to buy it. Like, I was looking at a little old tractor about like your little Ford. Man, of course, they want $800 for a tractor like it.
Yes.
I ain't about to pay that kind of money for one.
You can't find a thing much less than that.
I'll just, by golly, dig it up, then, because I ain't going to. I'll take my horses when I get straightened up and plow my field in.
Equipment? Everything.
That's right.
I don't understand that. You can buy these little tractors, these little lawn tractors.
Yeah. They want $400 or $500 for them things.
Well.
You can't, well, you might as well grab an old rooster by the tail and take down through a field and try to plow one of them things.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I got to go to the poorhouse. See what the word in orphans is doing.
Someone right around, I don't know, 400 or 500, and end the visit with Cookie, with Rick and Debbie this Thursday morning, the 15th of February, 73. Someone right around 500, I'm just guessing, on this long tape. And end the visit with Cookie, with Debbie and Rick this Thursday morning, the 15th of February, 73. This is my gas man, James Bender, the Tuesday, the 20th of February, 73. Channel 1 right after Cookie. James Bender, my gas man, this Tuesday, the 20th of February, 73. Tuesday, the 20th of February, 73. James Bender brought me some gas. This Tuesday, 20th February, 73, this Channel 1 right after Cookie.
Yeah, I was fixing to be gone. I got some going to do.
On your way, huh?
Mm-hmm. Cold weather keeps me jumping.
Yeah. I'm out of hay. What do you do when you get out of hay?
I don't know.
I'm not the only one, am I?
I'm afraid not. Well, I hear people talking. Looks like all kind of feeds and fuels are getting scarce.
We're gonna feel it one of these days.
gonna fall over here in overnight. So, well, we just can't get it. It's gonna happen.
Well, what are we gonna do?
Well, we just have to do without.
Is that probably it? Just cut on a little bit?
Well, if you cut down, it ain't gonna help a great deal unless everybody would cut down.
Yes.
And people are not gonna do it.
They're expanding instead of cutting down.
Right. Using more every day.
Well, now, let me tell you what my diagnosis is. You see, it's hard to pay bills. Well, it is. But there's just so much money in the world now. You see, you don't have to save on fuel or on gas, no, you see.
That's right.
You may never get rich or anything like that, but there's just so much money.
That's right.
And so many people got it, haven't they?
That's right. More money than they've ever had. More money than they'll ever have.
Yeah.
And what good is it going to be?
Yeah.
If you can't get what you need, what good is it?
Do you run into them? Half people I see around here have run out of hay and things like that.
Right. It's everywhere.
And they just go all over the country looking for it.
I just stopped down at the trade rooms at a restaurant a while ago and got a cup of coffee, and I heard some people in there talking about hay.
Yeah.
So I'm wanting to know where to buy it. And whoever I was talking to didn't know where to get it.
Seemed like I can remember not too long ago, most of the talk was you had extra hay and wanted to move it.
And it had been a couple of 3 years ago. People had plenty of hay.
Plenty of hay. Well,
what's causing this is all this land that they grow hay and grain and all that on, they got houses on it.
Yeah.
Ten or 15 people buy up this 100 acres and they got a house or a house trailer on it and they don't grow no hay or grain or...
Yeah.
All they grow is young'uns.
It takes it out right out of circulation, don't it?
That's right. Once grain's grown up the country where they do grow grain, I mean grow grain, it goes across the pond.
Yeah. Like they showed on television the other night, there's a great shortage of lumber here. But up there, the governor of one of them states said they were 3 years behind in lumber that they'd sold to Japan.
That's exactly what's going to put us in the shape we're going to get into, too. What we need, the sending across that.
Yeah.
For a cheap price.
Yeah.
And they'll turn right around and bring it back here, and you're going to pay a high price for it.
Yeah.
The same material.
Now, all this happened just last...
It's just happened.
Just happened.
Just like your fuels. If they keep what fuel we got here. There wouldn't be a shortage in fuel.
Now you can't buy land now. It's all bought up.
Well, that's bought up and that you can buy, you can't afford, or I can't.
Yeah. And they don't want to sell it in little half-acre plots.
They're not going to. Well, some big dogs got it sewed up where you can't even put a house trailer in a lot of these counties unless you got 5 acres.
What's the object of that?
So the big man's got all this big property, can sell it for a big price. You got to buy 5 acres if you want to put your house in there. and he can get his price for it.
Yeah. They don't ask how much it is. They just ask how much it is a month.
That's right.
And see if they can make it.
They go to the bank or the loan company and say, how much can I get? How much will I have to pay a month the rest of my life?
Yeah. Well, now, you see, I got this almost, I just barely got under the wire. You see, I got this, it's 150 acres in here for $125. I just barely got under the wire, didn't I?
You wouldn't take $1,200 for it right now, would you?
Well, here's the thing. The money won't do me any good because I couldn't.
You can't. I got a friend of mine right there in Wollaston, block brick layer, got 123 acres. Today he wants to sell it, tomorrow he can't replace it, and he knows it, and he backs up.
Yeah.
And all pasture land, just like yours, fenced and cross-fenced. And
yeah.
But if he intends to have anything, you better keep what he's got.
That's it. See, I could use a little money. And I don't need all this place anymore. I didn't need it when I got it. But I need it less now. But see, if I let this go, well, they didn't tell them what I could find.
That's right. Now, if you could go out here and find just what you wanted for, say double the price what you paid for this.
Yeah.
Be fine.
Yeah. Yes, I don't want much. I could get along with a whole lot less.
That's right. But you just can't find it. It's not they're not making any more of it, they say.
Yeah. Well, you think it's gonna be like this all from now on, or don't you know it? Things change so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be afraid to even guess at it. I don't see how I can stay like this.
I don't see how I can.
I just don't see how.
I don't say, one of my friends was down at Tampa or Sarasota, young people visiting. And the family they visit down there is from up the country. They got a house down there too. And the two young people, they work. One of them, they don't work it much. They don't have any money. It's a family that's got the money. One of them, works on a newspaper and goes out and writes a little column about the places to eat, and you see, that's not so important. And the boy, I think he's a coach of some sort, but the old man, you see, comes down from up there and stays a week or two and buys a condominium, those things, and leaves him some money to furnish it for him. And you see, that sort of money, you just can't compete with that, can you? Now, it used to be they had enough to do up there where they are, but now, you see,
that's another thing that's helping us out, too. So it brings the price of land up. Cattle's higher. Hogs are higher.
Yeah.
Grocers are higher.
Yeah.
I don't make a bit more than I made 15 years ago.
Yeah.
My wages hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I talked to a man yesterday morning in Williston. He's a little old. We got a little patch farming around there. He's retired and he does what he wants to do. He's a painter and a carpenter. Sold two hogs, $174. Two hogs.
Them two hogs brought more. I've seen five head of cows not bring near that.
Yeah. You know, we used to go around and buy these little cows at the dairies, the little calves, two-day-old calves. And we get them $5-$10. And they tell me they are way up there now.
If you could buy one. There's so many people got their names ahead.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I've known many ones for $75.
Yeah. I don't.
And make fine cows, too.
Yes. Make fine cows.
Yeah. You didn't have a cow in, you had to hand feed them, but still.
It don't take long. It
don't take long before he's on his feet and raring to go.
Raring to go, and you haven't got anything in him.
Nothing in him.
You'd have something in him now, wouldn't you?
I bet you one of them calves cost $50. I don't know how much they cost anymore.
I think they cost way more than that.
I didn't
say because I was ashamed to say. I was afraid to say. But I
wouldn't doubt that a bit.
Way on up past that.
Because if a calf is dropped on the ground, he's worth over $50.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking about one of these cows I got out there. She's an old cow, and she's got a beautiful calf, and there's no use of her raising that calf. But she might stay around and have several more calves if she don't have to raise them.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll just let somebody take that kind of calf. And I probably will. By hellfire. Gee whiz. It's just shameful what they were. You've got...
I tell you, if you get to thinking about it right down to it, it'll scare you.
It is scary.
Sure is.
Well, now, you are out where you run into people, and you can sort of keep up. I stay in here. And
well, I hear a lot of talk around, but as much of it I can't reach. Things I've never seen or heard of.
Yeah.
Even dreamed of. I tell you, it's something to think about.
That horse country down there, I think that's one of the worst things that ever...
That's one of the worst things that ever hit this country.
Hit this country.
Yes, I'll say that.
I imagine a lot of people know what's happening there. I don't know too many down in there. I ought to go around with you a day or two and sort of find out a few things.
Well, this horse country, that's... I stay away from that. It's a money-making thing. Well, they make money off of it, rather.
Yeah.
Tax perks.
Yeah.
Beating people.
Yeah. They're the ones who are up there that got... They can get all sorts of information. They're up there where they can get it.
And as small as I am, and as this little company is, I stay as far away from my horse farm as I can stay.
They'll beat you.
They'll give you a reaming now.
Oh, you mean that?
Yes. They'll beat you before you can turn around. They'll take your pants off.
Well, let me tell you, I heard this fella sells kerosene over here, Miller. He's telling me I forget just how it was, but it seems like it was just deliberate. One of them just took him, just deliberate, just took him. Didn't aim to pay him to start with.
They don't. I'm not talking about us, just a little man either.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the big feeds and companies and grain companies. They get them $3,000-$5,000, $10,000, and then they up and change hands. The place sells out or changes hands.
Well, now, where do you find that out?
There's loopholes that they can get by, and I know for a fact that the same man owns it.
Yes. And he don't...
He gets around paying these debts.
Yeah. And he ain't necessarily here.
No, he's not here. I've never seen him.
Yeah.
You've never seen But you're out there putting your goods out, and oh, he'll pay you for a while.
Seminole.
I bet you they can tell you a head full. They can tell you all you want to know. Any of these big grain feed and seed stores.
Well, let me tell you, you know this big ranch down there that millionaire owns. They sell a lot of hay. Now they sell most of that to those big horse places. Old Lightner is over there.
Lightner. All the Lightners. Jake?
Huh?
Is that Jake Lightner?
That's it. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. You know where the Shiloh Church is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
Crossroad, turn left.
Yes. What's his name?
Lives on the hill there?
Yeah.
Jake? Ed?
What is his name? You know Kelly Pardee?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's across the road from him.
Yeah. I get all the names. Mixed
well, up. Anyhow, he is the most progressive of all them fellas.
Yeah.
And he was the farm manager out there until the fella just practically gave him the farm. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know which name.
Well, what is his name? I know him very well. Hell, I used to go to Sunday school with him. Now, I'll bet you he collects.
Some do.
Of course, you could beat him, I guess.
The only horse farm I think that we ever had anything to do with this company, I say we. If we didn't get beat. One Michael Brothers owned.
Yeah.
Now they paid their bills.
Yeah. You mean Michael Brothers owned a horse farm?
Man, they own a lot of property out of Fairfield over there. Let's see, what did that go under? Well, just when they sold out, it changed to Bourbon Hills Annex.
No.
It used to be
I don't know that country.
But they sold that out to somebody else.
Yeah. I don't know that country. That's where one of the big ones is.
Hobo is
Hobo.
Bobet.
Bobet.
Now, them big outfits.
They're big outfits.
Money.
Now, I don't know people over there. I run into this old fella. He's always had dogs and everything. There's not much left of him over there now, you see. His name is Carter. Wirt Carter.
Who?
Wirt Carter. Wirt Carter. He runs dogs. And I can't tell you what road he lives on. I don't know what he knows about those things. I'd love to talk to somebody. I ought to go around with you for a day or two, dadgummit, if I could get away from here.
Well, my trouble is I don't have time to stop long enough to talk. I'd like to just have time to stop and talk.
Well, come warm weather.
That'll help. That'll help.
That'll help.
That'll help.
Come a little warm spell, a little warm weather, when you don't have to get around so many stops.
Yeah, that's the thing. Summertime, I got pretty plenty of time.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
You'd be surprised how it is out there.
I hate to be so ignorant all the time.
You don't ask, you don't know. Save us, Bob.
Well, this is getting long now, around 1500, and the end of the visit with James Bender this Tuesday, the 20th of February, 73. after Cookie on this same side, Channel 1 right. This is way on over there towards 1500, say. The end of the visit with James Bender, he couldn't stay long. This Tuesday, the 20th of February, 73.
Later, he published a bulletin and standing by the trees, and the tree had grown as much in those 16 years as it usually takes them to grow in 30 years. And he just mentioned, you know, these are trees that were planted in the project, but due to unfortunate change of land use, the project was bulldozed. So he got the last word in and got it in print.
Yes, we can just spread that.
He's peppery.
Yeah.
But I know last night you mentioned about he always talks. He can't hear, so he talks.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Every time you start talking, he just jumps right in on top of the conversation. And there are times that, well, now if you just wait a minute, I'll tell you. And he has to. It holds him back, but not long.
Not long.
That was that tape that had the Lost Eden you were talking about, where he looks at going back to California. There was that nice little look right at the beginning.
Where he stands on the, he walks on the roof.
Yeah, on the quince trees and an apricot tree that had fallen over but was still living. And the olive trees that were indestructible.
Now, John Wayne, I made a statement a while ago. I'm out of hay. And that kept him going. Now, John Wayne
should I read out a little bit about Cole Porter this morning. I stuck in a little bit about John Wayne just at the end, that he's simplifying all those corny lines and everything that he has. There's sort of this most simplification of the virtues that he thinks that America should have. And that's sort of the way that was sort of the statement I made about Cole Porter, was that he's much more direct. It's not to say that his play wasn't sophisticated, it was, but it was much more direct humor than humor today. And when I thought about it, the first thing that came to my mind was this Woody Allen movie that I saw it last summer.
Debbie,
you don't.
I'm out of hay. Give me a statement on John Wayne.
He's corny. It's not a statement.
One last night that he said to the little boy.
Oh, you're a man now, son. That business, all his corny lines, all what it.
Yeah, but you're getting so goddamn much indirection in there. You call it names. Go right to him. Right to him. Run it straight.
Stands there and looks at the little cowboy and says, You're a man now, son. The next time somebody knocks you down, you're going to get right back up again.
Yes.
All right.
All right, John Wayne, put starch in you. You say it.
John Wayne, put starch in you.
That's what I said. Oh. You say something. You say it. Make it straight.
He tells you what you should do, what you should get up when somebody knocks you down. Yes.
You gotta get a line there that you can work from. Now what? This Cole Porter. He just like any other musical comedy. What's musical comedy? It's something that just makes you walk on air. And don't know whether you're crossing the street or not. Now all you gotta do is just sing one of those little songs. Just put in a little ditty. I don't know it. Put in a little ditty.
What?
Just a line.
Anything goes. In the olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes.
All right. Now I don't know what the meaning of it is. I don't follow it. Just start from that. Yes. Anything goes. See, I still don't get the meaning of it, and you still don't help me at it. You give it to me halfway. See, I don't follow it all. See, I don't know the music or the song or Cole Porter or anything else. Anything goes, but I don't get any, the conditions. I don't get what you said.
Of the songs.
Yes. What does he say when he says anything goes? What does he mean?
That he's talking about the flappers.
You mean the flappers can get away with anything?
Yes. That's what he's saying.
Yes. We like flappers. They can do anything they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He sides with them.
Yeah.
All right. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? Yes, sir. Get into him, you see. Get into him. Now, what did I say? I said, what did I say to you in there this morning? I said something, and you said, no, that's not quite right. Oh, I said to you, you've got a considerable amount of repetition in your talk. What'd you say?
Oh, I said that.
Mr. Weaver had it too.
Mr. Weaver had it.
Well, now you see, you don't want to, that's not your reply. What you want to do? You want to go along with me? Yeah, I have. Right, smart. And open it up and get the cases, you see. You don't want to stop me when I make a statement. You want to go along with me and help me, you see. I need a little help. All I had to do is go in there and get your manuscript. And even in that sort of thing, I think you'd go along with anyone long enough to see. And mm-hmm. then after you see, you discard it anyhow, you see. I mean, it's not put on in the judgment book.
I always get in on this because every once in a while, you see, if he says something or somebody says something like that to me, I defend myself.
They was brought up defending herself, see, in the 20s.
See, he says to me, you repeat yourself. I say, well, other people do too.
Yes.
Well, that's the end of it.
That's the end of it. I'm Scotch.
So if I say yes, I repeat myself, and then he gives a case, and I give a case. And then, as he says, then discard the whole thing because he wasn't reprimanding me.
I see. I brought this up before, and I think it's something that you have to consider. You represent this place and put it in the light that these firefly people are putting these old people. You're making it look sort of curious. Now, I'd turn tables with them. I told you that before.
I turn tables. I said, where you are is the provinces. I'm at the center. I turn tables. Do a good humored, you see. Yeah, you, all, that's all they know of you is being good humored.
Amen.
I would. Now that's my statement. I would turn tables. I don't know what John Wayne is because I've never seen him. I can't say Cole Porter because I could tell you about Jeanette MacDonald, but I've forgotten it. It's not fresh in my mind. But I can make a direct statement on this, and one that you can go from, and it'll hold anything you want to say. You see, I thought up in Boston I was in the center, but I find out that's in the provinces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the center now, because this is where the currents are. And you can care as far as you want to.
Yeah.
You'd be good-natured. I mean, you're not being sharp with them. But that's your point of view. And that's the only possible one. Otherwise, you're patronizing the place out here. Condescending. And if you're going to do that, don't do anything. Just leave it completely alone. Don't put in the picturesque about this place or any other. France, New Hampshire, or any place. The picturesque has no place whatsoever. Unless you say, well, now I hear a few little picturesque details that's not worth listening to. But you be sure you introduce it as worthless. But you see, you handle all that material with a very light touch. But the direction is still not quite there. And it's the direction, you see, that is the heart of the matter. It's what you hold on to. That's what I put today in on trying to get the direction of that firefly thing. I didn't quite make it. It's a missionary spirit. That's what it was. His father took him there when he was a child. Of course, he wasn't a child too long ago. He just finished school. His first job, first teaching job, first job. And he had a tribute to this woman who is the head of some little foundation. And it's some little Save the Mountaineer Foundation. I'm certain that's what it is. So that's what this stems from. And that's one reason it's not discriminating. He won't look for light so much as preservation and the virtues, which I don't care for. I struggle with that all the time, you see. I spent a day looking for one little statement to make about that. And I saw it flat-headed anyhow, and out of sorts for no reason. I woke up last night and I was thinking about those damn cows over there in the rye and the oats. And there we were telling them where to eat. And we was keeping them right there in one little patch. And it's just irresistible for me. It's unbelievable that any cows would do it, especially mine. I didn't think any cow would do it unless you built a fence around it. That's what he says, you know, they'll put an electric fence out there. And
mm-hmm.
I find that wouldn't do it because the calves would run through it. The cows wouldn't bother it, but the calves didn't notice it till they knocked it down. Those calves are heavy, and they're tough. Yes. Now, you see, I still don't have a feeling that makes your daddy so goddamn addled. You see, you haven't given me any reason for it. I mean, you haven't given me the statement that gets into his blood. You see, he has a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is that he has a feel for.
Neither do I.
Well, you saw this show.
and sat there with him, you're bound to have some little feel for it. And you see, you left out the very best thing about the girl in Chicago, that she's 6 foot tall and hefty and has a huge appetite.
No, that's another person. I get it in.
Who's that?
It's Rosemary.
Oh,
it's not Selby.
That's not Selby.
I wondered why you were so interested in salvage.
That memo business gives me the sick stomach. It's this other thing that makes her seem sort of stalwart.
Oh, it is Rosemary. Seen.
It's Rosemary.
I was delighted with Rosemary.
What else about her?
I could tell you an awful story about Rosemary.
Well, give it to me.
This is awful. You just wouldn't believe that anybody really did this. Rosemary worked at the Boston Globe, and she had this very long affair with one of the editors, and he was going to break it off. He's going to break it off with her, right? So Rosemary decides she is going to get this man. She's really going to get him. She pulls this great scene in Marcia and Robert's living room. Fripp, I'm pregnant. I am pregnant, Fripp, but don't worry, don't worry. I'll go through it all for you, but I need $600 to go to New York for an abortion. He wrote her a check and says, Rosemary, what's the doctor's name? Shall I make it out to you? Oh, no, she says he wants it in cash. He takes this check for $600 and walks out and buys a Volkswagen and names it Billy Jr. And she proceeds to drive all over Boston and tell everybody in Boston but Bill Fripp.
Oh, Debbie.
It's true. I never believed anybody could ever do that. It's absolutely true. That's Rosemary.
There's your statement.
Beware.
All right, come at me straight like that. With Cole Porter. Just like that now, with Cole Porter. What you want is just a central case, just a central episode, just a central situation. Just like the flapper. Just like the flapper. With as much detail, you see, work out the flapper. And all those things he says about the flapper now won't be true, but to be the sort of things you wish were true.
That... Well, he's got a whole troop of flappers. Reno and the Angels are a whole troop of flappers, and he puts them on stage first thing.
I don't want to know all that. I just want to know the flappers. What is he likes about flappers?
That anything goes with flappers.
Well,
that
ain't very concrete. What goes with them on the stage? I'm trying to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the damn play.
That they...
Make it grammatical.
In the seventh grade, it was called the topic sentence. Remember the topic sentence?
The
Yeah. In the seventh grade?
Or as Mrs. Nealon says, you don't have to write a composition anymore with an introduction, a body, and a conclusion.
Did she say that?
Oh, she told me over the telephone. She told me over the telephone that both of those young people are graduates that I know. Yes, I did, Miss Neely. And they both are in English. That's the proper thing for them to be in.
Daddy wouldn't let her do it, huh? Oh, my. That's it.
But that's a strong statement if you make this place out here is the center.
Yeah.
And then you can just go on from that.
Yeah.
You know, this is the things happen. All right.
You want to put it in your own mouth.
Yeah.
You don't want to make it harsh like I did.
And then
you there just has to be
get something on full for that you can just go on and talk about anything. But it is true. It tightens it up, I can see.
Yes, but that we'll pardon that all that for Rosemary, won't we?
Yes.
Did she have a good appetite?
Rosemary used to eat more than Rush and Robert put together. I used to go over there on Sundays and Rosemary'd bake, and everybody'd eat lunch, and then Rosemary would bake tarts or something, and at 3 o'clock everybody would sit down and eat a dozen tarts, and then we'd have supper at 6. Rosemary went to teach in Bangkok, where all the Thais looked up at her like that, and she's kind of fey. She came back and said, well, I've done it. Put all my money where it should be, in gold. And she rolls out the sack, dumps all these gold rings and necklaces out on the table. She put all her paychecks into gold jewelry and comes back in this little bag of gold.
Oh, dear.
Saying, oh, it's going to be worth so much more in the States. She said. But it wasn't enough to buy her a car.
Now, where is she now?
Oh, she's probably on her way to Florida. Oh, dear. I think she's still hanging around in Boston somewhere, but Marsh and Robert keep getting letters from her threatening to come and live with them again. Marsha says, she's sure any day now Rosemary's just going to appear on the doorstep. My sister just said, Rosemary doesn't sound like a very nice person. I said, she's not very nice, no.
Well, is she not a roughneck?
No. She kind of floats around, you know. Meaning literally rough. She's not. She's just tall.
Yes. I've worked with a whole bunch, you see, on these pleas. And, I mean, I've had workout after workout on them. And, you see, one thing, now here's one thing that you do. This little Star Spangled play is a comedy with just one. Two boys and a girl was all that was in it. And I think that, and of the three, one of them had never, two of them had never been to play before. But they carried it. Well, it didn't have much to say. Oh, I don't know, it touched on student disorders in a light way. Well, they were going to edit an underground magazine. I can't get a hold of it enough to say. But what I found, what one thing I found was that if the play doesn't say it, something that's worth, if you can't get anything out of the play worth saying, just make it say something. But don't abandon it. And if one thing you, now you see, one thing you avoid like poison, and that's theatrical criticism. How a certain actor performed his part. That's one thing you avoid like poison. Nothing is quite so little. And I've read paper, page after page after page after page of theatrical criticism from Dibden to Sheridan. And that's all it was. The whole shebang is all they knew how to write was theatrical criticism. So he had no idea what it was about. They just talked about how the actors perform their parts. Oh, just cliches, one thing. Well, I didn't pay much attention to it at the time. It just sort of built up in my mind, you see. And then later, when I had a chance, I see in that that Marat Sade, nobody that I ever ran into had any idea of what the direction of it was. And one of the bright people who was in it and had been prop manager and one thing or another and was a good reader, writer and all, she said the thing that she saw the most was that they would all chew their tongues and tear their clothes all through the things until they were exhausted. Well, I went to a good deal of trouble to find out about Marat Sade, short of finding in there somebody who could tell me. I tried just to find somebody. I tried to take a shortcut of finding somebody who could tell me. And one of the professors was in it, and I never found out from him what he was in it for. He knew his lines and spoke them well. But it's a play on revolution, and they make several very interesting statements about revolution. I never saw that appear in any of the reviews. And Vanderbilt did it, and it was in the Vanderbilt alumni magazine. Now I can't. I'd have to look at it just a little bit to recapture it. But it makes some interesting statements about revolution. You see, the play has to make a statement about something. It simply won't hold together. That's what you've got to do. And what I found in that play is that the best statement in the play was made in a scene where there were five other people talking at the same time, and they were singing what that point was. They were singing it or reciting it, all five of them saying it at the same time. Well, you can't hear anything if five people say it at one time. I don't care if Shakespeare had them do it. You still can't understand what they say. So that's how the play's put together. I mean, I stayed with that several months. I just lived with it. I didn't know what. I could pick it up and show you some of the very nice things it says on Revolution. Charlotte Corday.
Yeah, I got a marked copy in there. What did you mark it all up?
Yeah.
What time?
You see, you have that, and that was the time, you see, they were destroying.